Hello, Kryptonauts, and welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat. I am your host, Blockchain John, here with my co-host, Jake Jabrelli. Give you episode 523. Yes, 523. For this Sunday, June 11th, 2023. Yes. What's up, Jake?
Hey, John. Good to be, glad we had a lot of interesting things happening in the pre-show, but let's talk about our new sponsorships, in particular Pacific Bitcoin Festival that will be happening later this year, the early October 2023 in Los Angeles, California at the Santa Monica Hangar. It's a big venue and there's going to be a whole lot of people there, and this is Bitcoin only, so don't talk about altcoins, you're going to get kicked out. I'm sure that won't actually happen, but they probably will frown upon it. General admissions, 550. VIP is 2,800 if you get your tickets now, but it's only going to go up. So the sooner you get them, the better, and there's no refunds. So there's lots of people talking, but there will be lots of Bitcoin-related things. Check that out. We've also got in 14 months, late July of 2024, will be the Bitcoin conference, which, of course, has more than just Bitcoin, which is ironic. It's the Bitcoin conference, which should more or less be called the Altcoin conference. But there's lots of stuff there. Plenty of speakers. Obviously, Michael Saylor will be there. And the tickets are about the same price, about 500. At least that's what it's showing to me right now, like 2,000 sats. But you can pay it in Bitcoin. You'd expect that Pacific Bitcoin would do the same thing, but they don't.
Industry, that's $300.
Industry pass is about 4.5 million sats, and then the whale level is 23 million sats, so pretty pricey. Still not a full Bitcoin. These are all fractional Bitcoin costs, so that event is happening in about 14 months. It's a ways off, but we're just talking about it now because why not? And then what just happened, we were mentioning what 3XP happened just 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah, I was hanging out with the DFKers, the Mythic Squad in particular. And they went to the 3XP event, which I didn't even know. So it's kind of cool that they mentioned that. And yeah, Web3 Gaming Expo. So in the future, if you guys are interested, follow 3xp.gg.
Go to the website and check it out, and you can see it. I'm sure they'll have another one next year about the same time. That was down in Pasadena. It's Pasadena Convention Center. So a lot of these things are happening in LA, not anywhere near where we are, although it's technically still in California. So getting on to This Week in Crypto Twitter, which I will be reading. I can pop this open so people can see it better here. This week in crypto Twitter, outrage over the SEC crypto crackdown between the bombshell lawsuits against two crypto titans and talk of a weekend Bitcoin dump, which definitely already happened. It's been a wild ride. Many leading cryptocurrencies plummeted in price this week after United States Securities and Exchange Commission launched high-profile enforcement actions against cryptocurrency exchange titans Binance and Coinbase for allegedly violating securities laws, which they still haven't defined. The coins were affected by the news. These particular coins were Solana, Polygon, and Cardano, which I was going to talk about. Robinhood's going to be removing those three. All labeled as securities offerings in the SEC Binance lawsuit. Needless to say, it was a phenomenally busy week on the world's favorite microblogging platform as people digested this news. Here's how this pivotal week played out on crypto Twitter. On Monday, self-styled crypto sleuth Lierzit, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, made an interesting observation. It should be noted here that former SEC Director Bill Hinman in 2018 delivered a speech in which he explained his reasoning for why Bitcoin and Ethereum should not be considered securities, and I will read that. The at SEC.gov has now removed Bill Hinman's biography from its website, getting ready to throw him under the bus, says Mr. Hubert, a.k.a. Lierzit. Hinman's speech recently became the subject of the SEC's lawsuit against XRP progenitor Ripple, which was sued by the regulator for offering unlicensed securities. A court recently blocked the SEC's motion to block access to documents related to this speech, saying the material was, quote, subject to a strong presumption of public access, end quote. On Monday, the SEC sued Binance, and its filing listed several altcoins as securities. User at OXMERT said The news was an industry call to arms, and you can check that tweet out. I will not read it. Cardano creator Charles Hoskinson shared his two cents, or two satoshis, on the enforcement action in a lengthy tweet that was endorsed by Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao, CZ. And I will read that. Charles Hoskinson says, "With respect to Binance, I'm reading through the SEC complaint. It's over 130 pages, but seems like the next in a series of steps to implement Choke Point 2.0 in the United States. The end goal is an agenda-based CBDC partnered with a handful of massive banks and end-to-end control." Of course, CZ responds, "A perfect opportunity for the entire industry to set aside its fragmented nature and unite for a common sense set of rules and guidelines." Hey, what a concept! Oh my god. Anyways, Web3 law pundit James Murphy, aka Meta Lawman, wrote a thread about how the SEC's complaint provided closure to an unresolved plot thread from 2021. I'm not going to read all of it, but here's the beginning. "The SEC complaint against Binance appears to solve the mystery of why Brian Brooks abruptly resigned as CEO of Binance US in 2021. CZ allegedly reneged on the promises that Brooks would be given autonomy to run Binance.us independently from Binance. On Tuesday, CZ apparently needed some public validation, and most of his followers obliged." Here's his public poll. "Who protects you more?" yeah. Also that day, CNBC host Jim Cramer, buy it, sell it guy on TV, right? Tried fanning the flames of a bank run on Binance, attracting comment from not one, but two crypto CEOs. Eric Voorhees says, "Solvency of Binance greater than solvency of any bank in a run scenario." Jim Cramer, in response to Jim Cramer's comment. And of course, CZ also said, "We will see soon enough." Former Twitter co-founder slash CEO and current Square CEO. No, he's not a Square guy. He's just a Square guy. Jack Dorsey tweeted a controversial opinion about Ethereum. His reply to Ollie saying, "Is Ethereum a security, Jack?" And Jack says, "Yes."
Yes. That's what I was mentioning, dude. I'm telling you. They're going to get caught up.
Yeah.
Iconic will get caught up.
Yep, exactly. Coinbase hit back against the SEC's enforcement on action on Tuesday with some counter propaganda with a nasty, or probably natty, I guess it's supposed to be nasty or natty, natty baseline. Oh, I guess that makes more sense as natty. Never mind. Coinbase says, "Crypto has come a long way in America. It still has far to go. We're ready." Brian Armstrong's original tweet was, "Writing the SEC complaint against us today, we're proud to represent the industry in court to finally get some clarity around these damn crypto." Oh, he didn't say damn. Crypto rules. "Remember, the SEC reviewed our business and allowed us to become a public company in 2021. There is no path to come in and yada, yada, yada." So the numbers don't lie. Some revealing.
He said a lot more than just damn.
Yeah. He didn't say damn. I said that. Some revealing banter was passed between CZ and Gemini co-founder Cameron Winklevoss. I'm not going to read it. It's too short. The U.S. Court of Appeal for the Third Circuit on Wednesday responded to a public petition that Coinbase had filed against the SEC way back in July, asking the regulator to clarify its rules on which digital assets constitute securities offerings. Coinbase chief legal officer Paul Gruhl, who's many times tweeted here, tweeted about it in particular, and I will skip that as well. Pro-crypto Senator Cynthia Lummis released a statement about Coinbase lawsuit, and it's too much to read. You guys can check it out on your own. Blockchain savvy lawyer Jake Chervininsky accused the SEC of clutching at straws with its definitions of securities, and I'm going to move on past that one. Analyst Adam Cochran wrote a very juicy multi-thread summing up some of the SEC's most incriminating evidence against Binance. Quite a bit of a read. Check it out. I suggest it. On Thursday, crypto Twitter was hit hard by the bombshell that CZ and Gary Gensler have a history. Yes, yes, they do. And then CZ was busy trying to put out a fire the same day. Crypto Twitter was a flame with all kinds of news. So on Friday, popular investing app Robinhood announced that it was delisting coins listed as securities in the SEC Binance lawsuit. So as I mentioned earlier, Sol, Solana, ADA, or What is ADA? What's slipping my mind at the moment?
Cardano.
Cardano, thank you. Cardano and Poly or Matic, if they're not sold or sent, they're basically, sorry, at the end of this month, it's going to be delisted from, I mean, who invests through Robinhood anyways? But anyways, that's the case. Binance.us published a lengthy notice saying that it would be suspending dollar deposits and withdrawals as it transitions to a crypto-only exchange. We'll be talking about that later, so I'm not going to read it. Finally, the weekend brought talk of another Saturday Bitcoin dump. Dubai-based Titan of Crypto was among the observers who cautioned against the panic. Quote, each cycle of this kind of thing happens, he wrote. Whales love to dump it on the weekends. So that's his quote. Market watcher Professor Few also offered a view of what might be happening. I'm going to read this one. Is Bitcoin near a bottom, or is it time to buy the fear? I think John could have something to say about that. Or is is the dump yet to occur? Short thread on what I currently see in the markets. Yeah, it's a temporary dump. Crypto doesn't stay down forever. I mean, yes, it's been down a lot further from where it was, a year and a half ago. But that was an artificial inflation, like almost all of them are. So, yeah, that's the end of crypto Twitter for now. But we're going to be talking about more of that later in the show.
On to the next news. This week in coins, market crashes as SEC slams Binance and Coinbase. And let's see here. The market crashed hard this week on the news that U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission had launched enforcement actions against Binance on Monday, followed by Coinbase the next day. Both sued for allegedly operating in unregistered securities exchanges. The pair are the two largest crypto exchanges in the world, and the entire industry took notice. Market leaders Bitcoin and Ethereum sustained among the lighter losses among leading coins. Bitcoin depreciated by nearly 6% over the 7 days to trade at $25,624 on Saturday. Ethereum fell 8.5% over the same period and currently changes hands at around $1,738. Binance's native BNB coin crashed 23% over the week to hit $236. Huge losses of over 30% were felt by holders of Cardano, Solana, Polygon. These three cryptocurrencies were all cited as securities in the SEC's lawsuit against Binance. Leading cryptocurrencies that lost between 20 to 30% of their value this week include Litecoin, Avalanche, Shiba Inu, Uniswap, Chainlink, and Cosmos Hub. Every unbacked cryptocurrency in the top 30 by market capitalization depreciated in value this week. And guess what? I stacked sats. It was a good week for me.
Yep.
Binance immediately responded to the SEC's lawsuit by calling the regulators unreasonable and claiming it is disheartened by the agency's use of blunt weapons of enforcement. The response of the entire market followed that day, plummeting 3.6% overnight, and in a foreboding note, Coinbase's stock price also tumbled on the news of Binance's woes and continued to tumble when the Coinbase lawsuit hit the press the next day. Later on Tuesday, SEC Chairman Gary Gensler said that the crypto industry's entire business model is built on non-compliance, and a damning CNBC interview said, "We don't need more digital currency." A multi-state task force comprising California, Illinois, Kentucky, Maryland, New Jersey, South Carolina, Vermont, Washington, Wisconsin, along with Alabama, jointly filed charges against Coinbase. That same day for violating securities laws through its staking services, repeating one of the SEC's allegations against the exchange. Coinbase's chief legal officer, Paul Grewal, was in D.C. to speak at a hearing on the digital asset market structure discussion draft when news broke of the enforcement action. He strayed briefly from his prepared remarks and called the lawsuit, quote, disappointing but not surprising, and said Coinbase would continue, quote, business as usual.
At least until something else happens.
Yes. He also accused the agency of a reliance on enforcement-only approach and calls for Congress to adopt a draft bill laying out a regulatory framework around cryptocurrency transactions. It was a remarkably busy day at the SEC on Tuesday. addition to the Coinbase lawsuit and Gensler's CNBC appearance, a leading U.S. securities regulator also filed an emergency motion that day requesting court permission to seize Binance.us assets. The U.S. Court of Appeal for the Third Circuit must have appreciated the urgency this week because on Wednesday, it finally responded to a public petition Coinbase has filed to the SEC way back in July, asking it to clarify its rules on which digital assets constitute securities offerings. The court gave the SEC 7 days to clarify its position. It's great. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That would be tomorrow, actually, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No. This was on Wednesday, so it would be this Wednesday.
The following Wednesday.
Yeah. That same day, the SEC filed court documents alleging billions of dollars of Binance-related funds routinely flowed through Signature Bank and Silvergate banks for years. The regulator further alleges that Binance entities commingling funds and funneled them to a Paxos affiliate through accounts held by Merit Peaks, an entity controlled by Changpeng Zhao that is described as an over-the-counter trading desk and a proprietary trader of digital assets. I want to comment, but...
Well, it's our show. That. We can do what we want.
Also that day, Binance.us pulled over 40 trading pairs, the bulk of them including Tether's dollar-pegged stablecoin USDT, which has previously been the subject of scrutiny over the nature of the assets backing it up. On Friday, the exchange transitioned to crypto-only operations, suspending U.S. dollar deposits and withdrawals. But the plot really thickens when it came to light the arch-nemesis Gary Gensler and Changpeng Zhao have a history. Wait, hold on. You can't just leave me like that. That's it.
We left it like that in the last article.
No, to be continued. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
All right.
To get on to the rest of the news.
News.
We have. Yeah, thank you. New worldwide tax standard includes cryptocurrencies and CBDCs. I was thinking, I know a lot of people I've talked to, and mostly those who hold a more conservative viewpoint, tend to go, there's no such thing as the world government. There is no world government. I'm like, well, what is the UN then, right? I realize the United Nations does not include everybody. It's not every single nation is involved. But the whole point of United Nations is to form some kind of governance over the world. Now, the problem really comes down to, why does this exist? Why are they worried about it? Well, it comes down to the fact that people have moved a lot of their assets into crypto to escape taxes. And the thing that I was saying in the pre-show is it's dumb because unless you have it all in Monero or something like Monero, or you've been using a mixing service on a regular basis that you know some government hasn't taken down, then pretty much all your coin, if you've ever talked about what coin addresses you have, they're going to know what addresses you have because all of crypto is public. Almost all of crypto is public. So it's like, okay, a government can't, I mean, they can, it depends on which government, I guess, you live under, force you to give up taxes. They can sanction you, they can make it difficult, make your life difficult, but it's not really, ultimately, it's kind of this, unless they throw you in jail and take your money, but even then, they can't really take your money unless they, torture you or something. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that most people are willing, to some degree, to pay their taxes. So in this kind of sense, the thing is just that people, that the governments of the world are worried that it's been moved to a coin they can't control, right? And that's really what the point is. CBDCs are the opposite of people being able to control their own money. CBDCs are perfect for nations that want to control all their money and your money. And this is why we keep talking about it not being a good thing as a CBDC that we should not have either in the U.S. or any other country. But plenty of nations are looking at it as like, hey, we can finally control all the money. If we print our own coins now and we give it to our people, they can do with it as they want.
A way to get around sanctions as well, because that's one of the most biggest things that these nations are trying to get out when they're being suppressed by the state, right?
Or by some other state. Yeah,
you can't do anything because when the state, when the United States is like, stopping these nations' funds from being moved, well, right. they can't
do anything.
Have a thriving economy. Yep. They want to be able to move forward, right? Yep.
They want to have their own money that they can deal with it on their own, right?
Yeah. But with the CBDC, they're like, dude, forget it. You guys can keep that money in the bank. you know, we'll just make our own.
We'll make our own. Well, I mean, not to say that they don't have their own, but a lot of people, a lot of people may not realize that even if you create a CBDC, that is other nations create a CBDC, they're still going to have to trade with other people. So the reason that Bitcoin's great is because it's universal, right? Or, well, international. And so that everyone can use it. No one controls Bitcoin. No one controls Bitcoin. And so anyone in the world can use it. Anyone in the world can send money anywhere in the world without having to talk to a wire service or, you know, Amex or MasterCard or Visa. You just pay the fee. It may take an hour to send it, but you can send it. And so I
sent transactions last night. We're talking about Bitcoin. I sent some Bitcoin transactions. And surprisingly, even with all this activity with ordinals and BRC20s, I found that transaction went through pretty quick. I mean, it wasn't like instant, but I'm surprised that it went in within the first few blocks. I would say within the first, I don't know, two blocks at most. The first two blocks. It's not bad at all, considering that the blocks are, you know, 90% to 100% maxed out.
Yeah.
Continuously, that's crazy.
Yeah.
For my transaction to be accepted, of course I was paying. I was paying average. I wasn't paying low. I was paying average, and it still went through. I was like, not bad.
Yeah, it's good to see that it's possible still to send. But the point I'm trying to get at is the practicality of what's possible. If you do form your own CBDC, you're still going to have to. I mean, within your own country, it might work just fine. But as soon as you need to buy something from another country, you need to make sure that that country is willing to accept your CBDC. And if they don't, then you're still going to have to go back to using Bitcoin or using that world currency, aka the U.S. dollar. So, I think it's nice to see the example of El Salvador forcing its people to use Bitcoin, and or at least in their case, Satoshis and Lightning. But the trouble is, can you get people to actually use it? They used it by giving the money, saying, "Here's $20 worth of Bitcoin. We're encouraging you to use this." Some people just took it and converted it back to, you know, whatever their current local currency is. You know, but the fact is, El Salvador was trying to get off the U.S. dollar because they use the U.S. dollar as their primary currency. They don't want to do that anymore. But if you need to trade with another country, whether it be the U.S. or Russia or Syria or whomever, you still need to be able to give them something that they want. If they don't want your currency, then what use is it? So, I think that all countries want a currency like Bitcoin that is free from the U.S., free from China, free from North Korea and or Saudi Arabia or any of the other nations in the world who might want to control the world. And I think Bitcoin at this very moment can do that for pretty much everybody. And that's the reason I think it's important. So go ahead.
There's a quote here that says, "Our new international tax transparency standards aim to further strengthening efforts to tackle tax evasion in a digitized and globalized world economy." Created Matthias Cormann, Secretary General of the OECD on Thursday. I want you to pay taxes, man. That's what I think would happen with like Binance and stuff. They're just not fronting the bill like the way FTX was. FTX was just...
Well, part of the problem, maybe not FTX, but part of the problem we're struggling with, and you know, all these major exchanges are struggling with, is that they don't know what the rules are. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that Jerry Gensler is kind of like, you know what the rules are, you just refuse to follow them. But if everyone's saying the same thing, that they don't understand what the rules are, I think maybe the rules need a better definition. So I'm going to get off this thing.
They literally don't exist. That's the problem. There is nothing there. Zero. Yeah.
And that, they're still getting sued over being in securities when there's no rules about saying what they are as securities. It's sad. It's
so
disappointing.
There are rules about a security in Coinbase and Binance and just about every other exchange that's trying to be self-regulating. They're doing everything that's there. They have a lot of lawyers that is doing everything that they can to be regulated. They want to be regulated. You know this. We've been following this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do their best to stay in line.
Right.
they do everything that they can, Coinbase even gets listed, right? They got an IPO. They came out. They're legal. All is good. It were looked very well. Their company was looked very, very well, right? But all of a sudden, a year later, they get bumped in the head. Like, you know what? You're actually selling securities. What the hell? It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Oh, it's an echo chamber now, man. I've been hearing the same thing over and over again. And it's frustrating because this is nothing new. It's been happening for so long that at this point, dude, Uncle Gary's got to go. We need somebody that's actually going to take action. You know, because this action by enforcement is not the way to go.
Nope. All right.
Next news.
Ethereum.
Oh, wait, hold on. We need a little... and, All right, here we go. Ethereum fails without these three changes, says Vitalik Buterin. Good old Vitalik and Ethereum. From proof of work to proof of stake. Well, the whole reason that Vitalik transitioned away from proof of work was obviously to make Ethereum better by utilizing, what was it, three? It was decentralized.
Scaling solutions, secure wallets, and better privacy.
Yeah. Decentralized, secure, and scalable. Yep. And the only way you can do that, apparently, according to Vitalik, is by being on proof of stake. Now, I don't know about that, but they're going to move over to layer two solutions, rollups. Rollups has been been around for a while. I would say since the first time rollups were actually written on paper, on a white paper, was, I think, 2015. Didn't actually come to fruition, or actually didn't come to mainstream consideration on blockchain, was around 2017. But people weren't really paying attention to rollups at that time because you recall 2017, everything was bull run.
Yep.
Everything was going up. Everybody was loving it. This was mm-hmm. during the time that BitConnect was around, while developers on the back end were talking about rollups. And then rollups kind of faded away. And now rollups are back because it actually does have a utility to make things faster, secure, and what was the other one? More private.
Yep, privacy concerns.
Privacy. So yep. Layer 2, that's the vision that Vitalik is talking about. He says that he doesn't really... What was that last sentence? I think it was the last sentence at the bottom here. What was it? It was... where was it? I saw it. The solution isn't simply to move users off mainnet. Rather, the solution lies in extending the capabilities of the Ethereum network. So this means that instead of thinking about it as a migration from mainnet, we think about it as load balancing the demand for Ethereum mainnet with other highly secure OP chains.
Right.
Yeah. So. And just use a different blockchain. If you guys can't figure it out on mainnet,
Use Avalanche. Use Poly. Do you know how to use Ethereum? In fact, the nice thing about Poly is that you can use Ethereum still, so and just not pay the fees.
Off of it, man. And I don't know, dude. Just I'm done with it. I'm so done with it.
Ethereum has a lot of development on it. I'm not saying it's totally wrong.
It does. No, it does. It does. But at this point, there's so many other chains out there that are better. And you can easily, since everything's pretty much open source, you can easily go copy that code if you like that particular project. Copy that code, merge it over to whatever chain you want it to now.
Right.
You know, there's exactly. So many layer ones.
Yeah. Go somewhere else, layer one. Do more things. Yeah. It's totally doable. It's totally possible. Anyways, moving on to Binance. Binance US.
Whoop.
Yeah, you did it. Exactly. Binance US shifts to crypto-only operations amid intensified SEC security. Well, that's interesting. Does that mean that you're only allowed to bring crypto in and crypto out? You know, that's exactly what they're saying. Binance US is transitioning to a crypto-only platform, suspending all USD operations, including deposits and withdrawals. Honestly, I don't have a problem with that.
I do.
Why?
I do.
Why do you?
I do because everything that I do when I on ramp USD, I do USD to fiat. USD to crypto. That's what I do. And I buy. I know you don't buy.
I don't think it's intelligent to do so. I don't like the idea of doing it. To me, you make a better investment to buy hardware to mine other coins and then transition those into crypto than it is to just buy it straight. Because you lose so much money because they're taking a gargantuan bite out of your butt when you're what is your interest? What's the difference? Is it 10%, 15%? How much are they taking?
So yesterday, I think, was like 0.5%.
Really? Okay, well, that's different.
Yeah, Binance doesn't take that much.
Okay, well, maybe they were in
the past. If I did it from Coinbase, I think Coinbase was like 3%.
Okay, well, it was always all right, in the beginning it was higher. I guess it's gotten lower since they have more investments. But to me, it was, I don't like the payment. I don't like the cost. I'm okay with paying network fees. I'm not okay with paying someone else to get into crypto. I realize that if you're buying hardware, yeah, there's a fee to get into crypto. But to me, the value of the hardware is greater than the value of the payment. I get it. You're arguing that Ethereum is not as secure because it's all anybody can buy in at any time. And that's kind of my same argument with buying into crypto, is when you're buying into crypto, you have no skin in the game. You have no hardware because you don't have to. Same thing with Ethereum. You could just buy a bunch of Ethereum using USD and have a bunch of nodes and then control everything. But if you buy hardware, you have a different level of investment. And in my opinion, that's the better way to go. And that's how Bitcoin started. So anyways, off my high horse, moving on to this article. The reason that Binance US is doing this is to keep away from a lot of investment from people who are in the US, who are just pushing US dollars into crypto. And two, it's keeping the regulators out, because there's no way for a person to get in with fiat dollars and not to worry about dealing with holding US dollars in cash, or for that matter, giving people US dollars in cash when they try to cash out. So, I mean, it's a practical reasoning.
The main reason is their banks are abandoning Binance.us. The banks don't no longer want to back Binance.us,
yeah.
So they can't do the USD conversion. So that's it. That's the main reason why they're not doing USD.
Yep. So I don't personally have a problem with it. I think it's a great. That's actually how Bittrex was in the early days. So you had to.
So at this point, since I told you, like, I do USD to crypto, that's my on-ramp. I don't know what to do now. So anybody that's watching the video, if you guys know what I should do, like, you know, where should I go, man? Do I need to move out of the country?
No, there's plenty of other ways of buying. There's plenty of other ways of buying crypto with USD. Well, maybe not for long, but there currently are still other ways of doing it. BitPay.
Yeah, everybody's jumping ship, dude.
BitPay is one way of doing it. BitPay still offers a USD to crypto.
You're talking about fees? You know how much BitPay charges?
I know how much BitPay charges, but it's still an on-ramp.
That is, they charge a massive.
Yes, they do.
I mean, I might as well, at this point, if I'm going to do that, I might as well go to the Bitcoin ATM machine. It's pretty much the same price.
Yep, I know. There's lots of ways of doing it. You could buy from Gemini. You could buy from Crypto.com. There's other platforms out there other than Binance.
But they're all going as well. Crypto.com's going.
I know they're moving. That doesn't mean you can't still buy from them. So.
No, I think they're once they leave the States, they're gonna.
I know. Right now, yes. But like I said before, you can always buy hardware. You can always buy hardware and make your own coin. In fact, you have hardware in your house. You can make your own coin that way.
You know my internet connection, bro. You know, come on, man.
It doesn't need a high internet. You can get away on so little internet. You don't hardly need anything. You know, that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse.
You know, I don't have.
If you got cash, man, put it into something you can keep. Buy hardware
Bitcoin,
and mine it.
Bro, into Bitcoin.
Buy hardware and mine, and then transfer for Bitcoin or whatever you want to transfer for.
Well, this is.
This is Sparta.
I will find you. Okay. We'll find a way to get.
We already know for a fact that the Fed is making it hard for people to get into crypto, and this is what the result of it is.
CBDC, bro.
Right, but this is the result. This is the result.
I don't want their damn CBDC. I want my Bitcoin. That's all I want.
Then you know? Buy a machine to start making Bitcoin. At least the nice thing about buying the whole cool thing about buying hardware that can allow you to make Bitcoin or make any kind of coin for that matter is that hardware still retains its value after a certain period of time. So it's like buying a house, paying yourself back, and getting something else out of it. It's a dual function. That's the reason you should do it. All right, moving on.
Last news of the day. Hyperplay. Actually, is this yours?
No, it's yours.
Mine. Hyperplay raises $12 million to accelerate Web3 game launcher. Like we were just mentioning earlier, right at the beginning, we're talking about 3XP, right?
Mm-hmm.
3XP, Web3 Game and Expo. I just want to plug that in one more time. Hyperplay, another company, raising a lot of money, a few million dollars, to do Web3 gaming, which is the next. And we've been talking about this for a while, Jake and I. We've been talking about Web3 gaming because that's it's growing. And we knew it was going to continue to grow. Now you're going to get some like AAA game companies out here that are that we just saw at 3XP. There's a lot of really good games out there, man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of really good games that exist right now that are just, I would consider AAA games or borderline AAA games. Really good stuff. Anyway, so Hyperplay is launched those services back in March, and they're interlinked with the Sandbox, Born Less, Phantom, Galaxies, DeFi Kingdoms, which I do play. So shout out to DeFi Kingdoms and to the guys over at Mythic Squad. All right, what else? However, the launch also aggregates traditional video game listings from popular stores like Epic Games and Good Old Games, which is pretty cool because that's, once again, like AAA games. Like you're on-ramping. So all these companies, which is good. Actually, Jake, you were talking about gaming platforms competition, right? So that's a really good thing. That means these platforms are listing their games on the platforms. They got to put better and higher quality games on the platforms. Mm-hmm. So there's a few companies out there that are doing this. This is just one of them for fundraising the money. If they have a little extra, throw some our way. It'd be great. That's all I have.
Yeah. No, it's great to see a yet another platform becoming available because it creates more competition, creates more possibility, and honestly, it pushes the tech. The more we can push the tech, the better, because the more people will get involved in this and the less it will be so heavily dependent upon individual companies to make this thing possible. You'd be able to, you said, I'm all for, and NFTs is indirectly related, but I'm all for NFTs because they allow you to hold on to your assets after the game. Even if the game, you know, the game company dries up, the NFTs will still be useful for something. Hopefully. Yeah. But you own your stuff. It's yours. And you can trade it on the open market, which is even more awesome. So I'm very much in favor of seeing more Web3 gaming platforms show up.
Well, with Jake, that, this is all I want to say to you.
Thank you for your patronage.
Yes, all you guys are your patronages. With that, there is. Thank you all for watching. Please check out our coin tree. You can donate in whatever manner you feel appropriate through various coins we have available: Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, Litecoin, Tron, Monero, Binance, BAT, Library, HNT, that's Helium, Matic, Raven, or Evermore, which both have asset-aware wallets. You can also donate in fiat if you wish, PayPal. You can also catch our Patreon with all of our pre- and post-show, as well as all of our interviews. Odyssey for getting all of our content in video format without any ads, which is amazing. You can get us on YouTube. If you do, we appreciate the likes and the subscribes. Twitch for our streams, which you can catch the live show and see everything. Spotify podcast, if you just like the audio, listen in your car when you're doing something, when you don't want to have to watch what we're doing. And, of course, Twitter for John's updates and everything that we're doing on a regular basis. Discord, you can check out and get C3 Media tokens to see news and talk to people who are similar interest in crypto. With that, thank you all for listening. As we say at the end of every single show, stack sats and hodl.
And hodl.
Adios.